as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You are my friend. You are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. Sing it to him tonight. And you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to.
Are you looking forward to worshiping tonight? We've all got a part to do, and tonight your part's a little bit bigger. There's fewer of us here tonight, so let's all do our part and create an atmosphere. Our brother is prepared, I'm certain. He's prepared to bring the word to us tonight, so let's have an atmosphere where we can receive what I'm sure is going to be a wonderful sermon tonight. Let's do our part. We've got several prayer requests. I'm going to ask Brother Joel Brown, if you don't mind, to come and pray over these. Please remember Brother Paul Wolfenbarger in prayer. He has cancer in his bones, has been in an extreme amount of pain. Also remember his wife, Sister Sarah, that the Lord would give her strength. Sister Victoria Thomas from Georgia called to request prayer for the approval of her daughter's disability. Her lawyer's appealing the judge's decision to deny the disability related to her autism. Pray that it will be granted if it's the Lord's will. Continue to pray for Sister Victoria, that God would give her the strength, wisdom, and guidance she needs daily to press the battle. So let's remember that. Sister Craig's mother's been dismissed from the hospital, still needs prayer. Pray for Sister Donna Pistole, who's sick, unable to be in church tonight. Also pray for Louis Loris's daughter, Naomi, who's having several health problems. Also, Philip Priest, sick, unable to be in church tonight. Sister Bonnie Potter has a sinus infection. The meds are making her really sleepy, and she's requesting prayer. Then just a urgent, unspoken prayer request. Please pray for Carrie Treadway for safe delivery of her baby. Also, Sister Tanya turns in a request to have the church pray for a bladder condition she's suffering from. And also, Brother Randy Scott says, remember him in prayer, having problems with vision. Went to the eye doctor yesterday, and he says, I have early stage cataract in my right eye, claiming my healing, not signing for it. He asks that we keep him in prayers. Let's stand tonight, and let's also continue to remember Brother Keith Phillips in prayer. I know he started his treatments last Monday. I think the first one went well, but haven't heard since then. So let's remember Keith Phillips also. Thank you, Brother Joel.
Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Are you happy to be the house of the Lord? A temple made for him to dwell in. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we honor you with our lives. We give to you everything that we are, Father. And we know that you are the master maker. We know that you take this old flesh, this old clay pot, Father, and you mold it over and over and over and over again. Because we're trapped into this place called time. And we take on many times the identity of this old humanity, Father, that we're in. But Lord, that's not genuinely who we are. We manifest sickness because it's a part of time. We manifest depression because it's a symptom of time. We manifest discouragement because it's a reality of where we are, Father. But we want to tap into tonight, as Brother Joel has already said, we want to, Lord, create an atmosphere that would not only make you feel welcome, but let our neighbors know that you are alive, that let those sitting beside us know that you are real and that you exist within us, and that we want you to permeate everything that we are. So take a hold of this service, O God, we pray, Lord, and have your way. These words, these individuals, Father, the circumstances and conditions of these requests of prayer that's been brought forth tonight, you've known about them even before they fell upon our ears. And Lord, there will be some here tonight that will take maybe one, two, maybe all of them, who knows, that will take these things upon their heart, and they will just begin to pray and bombard you with them until you move on these circumstances for these individuals. Lord, if they didn't believe in you, they wouldn't have made them known. And we know by the message of the hour that you respond to the language of faith. So may faith be in the building tonight. May faith be upon the lips of every individual that's represented in these requests of prayers, O God. There's someone going before a judge, Lord. There's someone that's sick. There's someone that's undergoing treatment, Lord, chemotherapy. All of these things, Father, we've heard these things over and over again, and we don't want to take them for granted, oh God. We thank you for everything that you've done in our midst, and even tonight, what you're going to speak to us through the words of the man of God. And while I'm here, Father, and while it's going forth, Father, maybe it's upon someone else's heart, may you just remember the people there in Texas, oh God, in Louisiana, where this storm, Lord, has ravaged so many lives, has changed their lives forever. But Lord, on the spiritual side, may we be changed tonight. May our lives be changed by the things that we will hear tonight. And not only that, by the things that we will give back to you, that we will not leave this place the same as we came. These are things that we hear over and over and over again. Lord, let them not become common to us, O God. But may they ring true. May they ring more real in our hearts tonight. So every stroke of the piano keys, O God, every strum of the strings upon the guitars, O Lord, every beat of the drum, O God, every strike of the keys upon the organ, Lord, may it be for your glory. Every hand that's clapped, O God, may it be for your glory, Lord. As we lift our song, our voices in song and praise to you, may you come on the scene, and may we be inspired by the word of God that will make you act and do as you did in times of old. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Master of the wind, sea. You can be seated tonight. Master of the wind, sea. You know, I've sung this song a whole lot. I realize that. Master of the wind. But if you think about the words, it's worth singing. If it's a real experience for you, it's worth singing. Let's sing this tonight with all of our hearts. Think about these words. So thankful that I know the Master.
Well, my boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend and he watches over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, lift your hands to him if you know him. I know the Master of the wind. I know the Maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the Master of the wind. That chorus again. I know the Master of the wind. I know the Maker of the rain. He has come my storm, made the moon shine again. I know the Master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me the highs. It may bring me low, but it'll never bring me down. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of I know the master of the wind.
Amen. If the brothers would like to come tonight, lift the offering. If, let's do that, you thought I was worth saving. He thought I was worth saving. So he came and changed my life. It's another song that's just great lyrics. Let's sing this together. Think about the words tonight.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, clean me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving.
Amen. Sister Sarah Yonks. Sarah Yonts has a song for us tonight.
When life gets you down and you feel more broken than whole, when the words got wounds go deeper than words, and you can't tell a soul. I may not know what you're going through, may not can make that high mountain move, but one thing I found that I really want you to know. If it matters to you, it matters to He wants to share the burdens you bear, whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Friend, do you think the maker and giver of life is far too busy to care about your trouble and strife? He sees the sparrow that falls to the ground, and he hears the tears that don't make a sound. If you only knew how precious you are in His sight. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear, whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Friend, do you think the Maker and Giver of life is far too busy to care about your trouble and strife? He sees the sparrow that falls to the ground, and He hears the tears that don't make a sound. If you only knew how precious you are in His sight. If it matters to you, it matters to our Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear, whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it doesn't only matter to you. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master.
Take up your cross. Let's stand tonight. Brother Matt gets ready to come bring the word to us tonight. Appreciate that song tonight. Let's sing that, Take Up Your Cross and Follow Jesus.
Amen. Well, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count the cost, take up your cross, follow Him. Take up your cross, follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count the cost, take up your cross, follow Him. Take up your cross, follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. Just say that you know Him. Count the cost. Take up your cross, follow Him.
Let's sing it again as Brother Matt comes.
Take up your cross, follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. Count the cost, take up your cross, follow him. I'll take up my cross, I'll follow Jesus. I'll take up my cross every day. I won't be ashamed to say that I know him. I'll count the cost, take up your cross, follow.
Bless you, brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Take up your cross. I want to follow him tonight. Didn't come to follow a man. I came to follow Jesus. Amen. He's the only one who never gets lost. I get lost. Men get lost. The Lord never gets lost. He knows his way. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's certainly a privilege to be here with you again tonight. Amen. Good to see everybody's happy, smiling faces. Heard some of us are sick and some are traveling. And so that's okay. The Lord knew who would be here tonight. Amen. And he's the shepherd who feeds the sheep. You believe that? Amen. So grateful that he's here. So grateful that he's here to speak to us. Did you come with an expectation? Amen. If you have your Bible, we'll turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Get straight to the word tonight. Just have a thought just burning on our hearts. Been excited all day, looking forward to getting here. And just sitting in a locked up in a hotel room, just after you pray and you pray and you meditate and you meditate and you pray, you just get antsy. Say, Lord, when's 7 o'clock going to roll around? Get to church. Amen. Is that how you feel? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we just want to look here at Hebrews chapter 11. And we have a PowerPoint, brothers. You can just save that just till we need it. We'll just go to Hebrews chapter 11, real familiar scripture.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate Brother Donnie for allowing us to come and inviting us, and always such a blessing to be here with you. Always have good fond memories of every time I've spoke here, and even the times I wasn't speaking, was in the audience, and just enjoy. Amen. Enjoy your fellowship and your friendship and the different friends we've made over the years. And just so good to be a part of God's family.
Amen.
I couldn't imagine any other family I'd rather be a part of than God's family. Amen. We're not all the same. We're different in a lot of ways. Some of us have similarities. You know, we have differences. Even believers that you visit speak a different language altogether. But you know, there's outside of all of those idiosyncrasies and differences, there's something that unifies us.
Amen.
There's something that we have the same feeling. We have the same appetite for the same word. Amen. What unifies us is not a man. It's not some story. It's the word of God. It's the voice of God. Amen. I believe he can speak here tonight. Do you? Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. We'd like to speak to you on a sixth sense. A sixth sense. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now this word faith, we understand, is not what you're generally would, the word generically would mean faith. You may think of many things. You may think of faith for healing. You may think of the faith of the fathers. You may term it in a different way. But we know that what Paul is speaking of here in chapter 11 is a revelation. That you could say by a revelation, by things that are not seen, the world wasn't made by tangible things that we understand and contact by our five senses. Though you contact this earth by five senses, the Bible says the world was not made by any one of those senses that you have. Take it further, it wasn't made by the senses of your spirit, memory, conscience, reason, imagination, affection. But the Bible is saying that faith, this type of faith, it's a substance. It's real. It's tangible. In fact, it's more real than the senses that you have here by seeing and smelling and hearing and tasting. He says that the worlds which do not appear, verse 4. Now notice this, by faith, by revelation, by a sixth sense, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. You know, I've testified many times in church of things the Lord has done for me. But what a life Brother Abel must have lived that God said, I got a testimony. And I'm going to testify about Brother Abel. I say, Lord, give me that kind of life, that you testify of my good works. He says in verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, I ask you a question. What book did Brother Enoch read to tell him how to line his life up so that God could say, I'm pleased with that life? What book did he read? What pastor did he sit under and hear preach to tell him how to live? What prophet did he follow? He must have had another sense that no one else had that was directing him and leading him by inspiration and by revelation. Are you with me tonight? He says in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Very key verse here in verse 7. By faith. Let's just change that word here for a moment. By a sixth sense, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Now this word fear, if you look it up and we don't have time to put it on the screen, doesn't mean the word fear that you think of as terror or to be afraid. Noah wasn't every day living his life in fear and in worry that he was going to make a mistake. But the word fear actually means Noah moved with an awareness that rain was coming. The Bible says he moved with an awareness. He moved with fear. Verse 7 again. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By a sixth sense, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Verse 11, through faith, through a sixth sense, also Sarah herself received strength. How did she receive strength? Yes. I promise it wasn't by going in the bathroom and looking at the mirror. No. Had Sarah just looked at the mirror and let her two eyes, which is a sense, tell her what she was, I promise Sarah would have had a lot of issues with the promise of God. But the Bible says Sarah received strength by faith. It says, by faith Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him. Notice, it doesn't say she looked at the mirror and judged herself faithful. It doesn't say she looked at the mirror and said, I think I'm great and I think I'm good. I got all things in order. I live every day and I'm perfect. I never make a mistake. The Bible says Sarah judged him faithful. Hallelujah! I want to say, Lord, I may not always be faithful, but here's my estimation. You're always faithful. Oh, can you say praise the Lord? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Oh, we could keep reading here. Verse 20, by a sixth sense, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Verse 22, by a sixth sense, Joseph. Verse 23, by a sixth sense, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because he saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Amen. By faith, verse 27, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word tonight. We just have a great expectation on our heart, Lord. Father, that You're going to come and speak. Lord, You're going to come and move in this service, Lord, here tonight. We've come with hungry hearts, Lord Jesus. We're here, Father, to be fed at Your table. We don't go to the tables of the world that are just full of vomit, Lord, but we've came to the table where bread of life is served, where water of life is served, where if we're weak, we can drink of this water and we can receive strength. If we're hungry, we can eat of this bread and we can be filled. Lord, would You come and do that tonight, Lord Jesus, we ask. Take the preeminence, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. Thank you, brother. Keep your Bible open there just to Hebrews chapter 11. As we go through these stories, and we bring all of these down, if you just continue to go through Hebrews chapter 11, you would find this word, by faith, over and over and over again, by a sixth sense. You may have read these stories your entire life, and you've wondered, how could David slay a giant? You maybe have read the story of the three Hebrew children, and you could ask, you know, how was it possible that a person, a human being formed and fashioned just like I am, could go into a fiery furnace, heated up seven times hotter than ever before, and yet they would go into that fire and be unscathed and unburned? And in fact, the Bible takes it further and says that they didn't even have a smell of the smoke on their clothing, that their garments didn't even smell like the fire. You could ask the question, how could they cross a great sea like the Red Sea? And the Bible says, David says that in Psalm 78, the waters stood up like two walls. They stood up on ends, and the children of Israel crossed through dry land. You can ask yourself, how is it possible that Sister Rahab could go into a city and the entire city be destroyed, but yet she was saved and all of her house that was with her? You could ask, how is it possible, humanly speaking, that Joshua could look at walls so much, so big, that the Brother Branham said they could have chariot races on top of these walls? And you could ask, how is it possible that these people could accomplish these great exploits? And I can tell you here tonight, there's only one way possible, and it's through a sense called faith. You see, faith is much more than you may think that it is here tonight. That in fact, this is the sense that Adam had in the very beginning. Adam had a sixth sense. It was his predominant sense. It was the sense that he lived by. It was the sense that he worked by. Adam didn't live in a natural sense of everything that he's seen, and he could feel and he could touch and he could hear. But Adam had a connection with this sixth sense. It was an awareness that he had within himself. The Bible says Enoch had this sense also. Elsewise, how would Enoch know what God was going to accept for an offering? Enoch couldn't open a book. He couldn't get counsel from someone else. He couldn't open up the table and type in a message search and find out, you know, what is God going to accept? What's acceptable to Him? But God said, that's not the way that I intended for it to be, but I'm going to give man, I'm going to give my creation a sense down inside of him that'll lead him and it'll guide him and it'll give him a specific direction in how to live and where to go. He's going to have discernment in his life by the Spirit of God. And Adam literally lived by this sense. The Bible says that the world was framed by this sixth sense. But we find that Adam had lost something by the fall. Man lost that sense that was down inside of them that God had intended to lead them. Brother Branham says that there is nothing more important that you could pray for than revelation. Now, I could ask you here tonight, and I'm sure all of you would have various needs. Some myself, I could give you a list of needs that I have personally, even right now in my life. I could say there's certain things that I'm praying about, and maybe serious situations, and I'm sure maybe you would have some that to you, maybe they're more important than anything. Maybe it would be something in your health or your family or a job or maybe a bad report you've we've just received from the doctor. But the prophet of God tells us that out of all of those things that you could deem important, actually, there's nothing more important that you could pray for than for revelation. For with true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we shall prevail against them. That's the word that is promised to the believer in this age. That is the promise of the anointing of the flying eagle, that you are anointed with as a believer, that God would give you a revelation, that the revelation would be more, would prevail over your greatest doubts, it would prevail over your greatest fears, it would prevail over your greatest complexes, that faith would be a rock and an anchor that would literally, the gates of hell could come against it, and you could lose everything in your life. You could lose all your earthly possessions. Your family could walk away from you. Your pastor could turn you aside. You could lose your health and your family and your home and your wife. But the gates of hell could not prevail against the seed of faith that's inside of the believer. Hallelujah! That is the promise for you in this generation. That's the promise that was made to the believer. And this is exactly why the prophet says Satan hates revelation. Now remember, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. I'm sure you're very familiar with this quote, but the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, cold, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works. My brother and my sister, there is nothing that we need more than the devil to be exposed in our lives. I said there is nothing that the church needs more tonight. That is why you came here tonight. That is why I preach behind this pulpit. I am trying to expose the devil in your life and the lies he's told you and the lies he's whispered in your ear. You say, what exposes the devil? When a revelation drops into the heart of the believer, the prophet of God said it exposes the devil and he needs exposed. Let me expose him here tonight. Devil, you are a liar and you've never spoken the truth, and everything you've ever told me has always been a lie. You've told me I'm not good enough, but God says I am. You've told me I'm going to not make it, but God's word says I'm going to. Satan, you are exposed and you're a liar tonight. Hallelujah. Prophet of God said, what does revelation do? It exposes the enemy. It brings, why does it expose him? Now that tells us something else. It tells us that exposure only comes through illumination. So what is revelation? It's a light. Right? It's a light. Revelation is a light. It's an illumination that comes. And when light comes, darkness cannot remain. Are you with me here tonight? Brother Branham says, what does revelation do? It exposes him. This is why he can't stand it. He can't stand it. That's the words the prophet uses. Yeah, you have some things that, yeah, some things, Brother Terry, I can't stand. There are certain things that I could say, I cannot stand. You know, maybe this, that, or the other. You just can't, you hate something. The prophet of God says, this is what the devil hates. He hates revelation. He knows that if the people can get a true revelation of who they are and what they stand for, and that we can do the greater work, Satan knows we will be an invincible army. He will be as thwarted as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. Hallelujah! I can say there's nothing the believer loves more than revelation. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail, but we will prevail over them. And I'm here to declare to you tonight, my brother and my sister, revelation is not information. In fact, I'll go further and say we have received too much information. You are living in the day of information. And I'm afraid we've confused revelation for information. Oh, the church needs less information. I want to say, God, I need less theology. I need less mental, intellectual understanding. And I need more prevailing revelation in my life. What does the sixth sense bring us? The sixth sense takes away suspicion, Brother Terry, and it gives you discernment. There's a very big difference in suspicion and discernment. You know, you can just get a bad feeling about somebody. And someone said to me, well, you ever heard of brother such and such? Oh yeah, I've heard, you know, I just have a feeling. Well, what does that mean? I mean, I pulled up to a stoplight and I had a feeling about the guy beside me. And, you know, just had a weird feeling. Listen, friend, that ain't discernment. That ain't discernment. God doesn't give you a suspicion. He hasn't made us a suspicious people. We're a liberated, free people. And He's given us discernment how to live. He's given us discernment to what's pleasing and what's not pleasing. It is a guide that God gives us. It is what Enoch possessed. He didn't have a code book or a rule book, as we said. He didn't have a law of do's and don'ts. But the Bible says by faith, Enoch was translated because he had this testimony. He walked with God and he pleased God in his walk. It was not a code book of do's and don'ts. It was not a rules of rules and regulation. And God didn't send us a message to give us a rule book of don't do this and don't go here and don't go here. Some people study the message and live the message that way. They raise families and children that way. Of you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. Yes, 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 no, 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 my brother and my sister. God never intended to give you a code book or a rule book or a doctrine book even. God said, I'm going to give you an intercessor, a teacher down inside of you, and I'm going to give you discernment on how to live and how not to live. And brother, more than ever before, we need discernment. We're living in an age you need more than ever before. You've got to discern the spirits that are facing your home and your family and your children and your mind. It's going to take more than just some book you can reference. You're going to need the Holy Ghost, the inside teacher down on the inside of you, like Brother Enoch had, to say, Enoch, don't go there. Don't say that, Enoch. Something was inside of Enoch that was directing his life. I say, God, give us that discernment through the sixth sense. What does the sixth sense bring, Brother Mac? The sixth sense takes the Word of God, as it says in Jeremiah chapter 31. It takes the Word of God that you have intellectually stored up, and it does what the prophet says. It takes that information, and it drops it 6 inches down into the heart. You know, for the Old Testament believer and the worshiper, he had all the knowledge he could need stored up here. The first covenant, man served God, man lived, he knew what it was to be a Jew. He knew what he was allowed to eat and what he wasn't allowed to eat. He knew how to prepare the offering and prepare the sacrifice. He could wake up that morning, that day for his family and take the turtle dove. He knew to cut its neck in a certain way. He knew there was a certain way he had to keep his hands pure and not to taint the blood. And then take the blood and put it in a saucer. And then take that blood and take it to the high priest. And the high priest would sprinkle it on the brazen altar. And then he'd go into the holy place and sprinkle it on the altar of incense. All of this ritual. You see, that Jew knew exactly what it was to serve God. He had it written right here in his mind. And by gritted will and by determination, he lived a holy life. By gritted will, he had the law written on his mind. He knew the Old Testament believer had it written. He knew the law and he feared the law's consequence. So his obedience was motivated by fear, not faith. His obedience was motivated. I hope you're following me here tonight. He went to church because he had to. He raised his hands because he had to. He sang a song because he had to. Because mom and dad told him that's how you gotta live. He lived his life out of obligation. So his sacrifice he brought was out of fear of consequence. He feared what would happen to him or what would happen to his church. So everything was out of fear and motivated by a fear of consequence. But God said, in this new covenant, I'm going to replace fear with faith. I'm not just going to write it upon his mind. Notice what Jeremiah 31:33 says. It says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. In other words, God's saying, this is the covenant you're in right now, but there's coming a lamb. There's coming a lamb who's without spot or blemish, who's a perfect sacrifice. And when this lamb has been offered, the spirit of this lamb will come back on the believer. And he says, this is the covenant I shall make. I will put my laws in their inward parts. Yes. But now he's going to add a comma and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What's God saying? I don't like this consequence thing. I don't like this fear, and you're forced to worship and you're forced to sacrifice. I want a people who do it out of their own heart and their own desire, and they live like a Christian because there's a conviction down on the inside that's controlling them. God says, I'm going to not just write it upon their minds, but I'm actually going to change the desire of the heart so that they want to do and obey the word that's in their mind. Oh, I want to say, Lord, I'm so glad you wrote it not just upon my mind. I don't come to church because I have to. Oh, I'm here to tell you there's a generation of people who aren't here on a Saturday night because they're afraid of what the pastor might think, or they're afraid of the consequence. They're here because they came to serve the Lord. They live their lives out of a motivation of faith. Oh, brother and sister, I could just stop there just for a minute. Let me just say this. The believer doesn't live. I don't live the life that I live. You don't live the life that you live because of some code or some dress code or some fear or some terror that's upon you. It's not motivated out of that. But there's a conviction down inside our fear that what we've lost in this generation is conviction. We have people with no conviction, with no backbone. We just sort of gray the lines and smear the lines of what's good and what's bad and what's right and what's wrong. I'm afraid we've smeared the lines so much that really no one knows really what you believe anymore. Oh, my brother and my sister, we need people who have a conviction for to live a life worthy of the gospel. We need people who have a conviction to live a Christian life. You don't have to be begged to come to church. You don't have to be begged to raise your hands. You don't have to be begged to sing. You don't have to be begged to pray. But there's a burning down on the inside. There's something pushing, a life that's pushing out from my inside, saying, Lord, you're worthy of my praise. You're worthy of my thanksgiving, oh God. Oh, that sixth sense has to be awakened by the believer. It doesn't just have to be awakened, brother. It has to be exercised. What happens to a person who goes blind? They stop exercising that nerve of the eye. And that nerve eventually dies. The doctor will tell you, why does the nerve die? Because it's not exercised. You stop exercising, you lose that strength. And that sixth sense, oh, my brother and my sister, once it's became awakened inside of you, your eyes come open to a whole nother dimension. Your eyes come open to a whole nother dimension, one that's very different from this dimension. You realize that you're not of this world. You're of another world. You realize that's why you don't fit in around here, because you're not, you're a foreigner and a stranger. That's why you don't speak the world's language. That's why you don't have the things in common with them like everybody else does. You get to work on Monday morning and they're talking about the ball game and the bar experience they had. You just can't fit in. All you want to talk about is what the Lord did for you over the weekend on Sunday morning, because you're from another world. You're of another language. You know, the world thought Brother Noah was a Looney Tune. World thought Noah was a weirdo. But Noah lived by a sixth sense. Noah lived by a faith sense. The Bible says Noah moved with an awareness or an awe. He moved. In other words, he lived every day with those awareness. And when the rest of the world thought that he was crazy, oh, the world thought he had lost his mind. But do you realize that to Noah, he thought everyone else had lost their mind? To Noah, they were the weirdos. To Brother Noah, if you could see what his eyes of faith was seeing, he thought everybody else was crazy. Are you with me here tonight? Oh, to the world, they thought Noah was crazy, but Noah, to them, the world wasn't other. To Noah, the world was just a bunch of oddballs. Noah couldn't understand why they couldn't see what he was seeing. Do you realize this is how real it came to Brother Noah? It was so real to Noah. His sixth sense was so predominant over his own two eyeballs. He couldn't understand how could you continue to live in sin when you know what God is about to send. How can you continue to go on when you know the world is about to end? Oh, brother, it's exactly how I feel tonight. I look at the world and I say, how could they continue to go deeper in sin? Don't they know we're just about to go home? Don't they know that the world's time's about to be over? You know, you live completely different when you got that kind of revelation. You live completely different. Your attitude towards problems are completely different. Your attitude towards adversity is completely and totally different. Your outlook and your attitude towards trials are completely different. Sort of like watching if you ever watched one of your sports teams, you know, or somebody that you really want to win, you know, you maybe they're in the some kind of championship or tournament playoff, and you know it's either do or die. It's what do they call that? A single round elimination. You know, it's over if they lose. When you're watching that, you know, you're shaking. You don't want to look. You walk out of the room at the real important parts, and you're just cringing in every moment. But you ever watch somebody who's watching a recorded game that's already over, and they already know the result? They watch it totally different. Their attitude is totally different. Their blood pressure is normal. Why? Because they already know who's going to win. And they know they're on the winning team. Oh, hallelujah, my brother. I've already read the back of the book. And it told me I'm going to win. What does that mean, Brother Matt? It means I face my trials differently. I face my problems differently. Oh, come on, somebody. I face this life differently. I don't have the same attitude or outlook as everybody else does. Because I know this is just a recording. And in God's mind, He's already seen the end. And guess what? You were in the end. Guess what? You made it. Oh, hallelujah. Guess what? You got the W. You got the victory. You were there. Hallelujah. We already won. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, do you believe you've already won? You've already got the victory. I just bypassed my theophany, but one day I'm going back to it. One day that theophany will come to my body. We'll make the glorified body. I'll go and live in eternity. There won't be no more trouble, no more struggle, no more pain. All I've got to be here is tested and tried. Noah lived differently. Noah's eyes had turned on. You know, the song says, when faith turns on, when a light. What is revelation? Revelation is a light. What does that sixth sense bring? It brings illumination. It brings light. That's why the song says, when the things of the world, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light. So what did Noah receive? He received illumination. It was a light that grew down inside of him. He couldn't understand why the world couldn't see what he's seen. Oh, my brother, what happens when you get a sense, sixth sense? The world grows strangely dim. And the Word goes brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Oh, brother, this is not a generation. You're not living in an age to draw back or to fall away. It's a time to press forward. It's not a time to get dimmer. It's a time to get brighter. It's not a day to get colder. It's a day to get hotter for the Lord Jesus. I say, oh, God, waken up my sixth sense to dim this world. This is exactly what the Bible says about Sarah. Sarah lived. She had been given a promise. Sarah had been given a promise from Almighty God. And I promise you, there was no question in Sarah's mind whether she believed the Lord made the promise. She knew the Lord made the promise. She knew it. Her problem and her issue was not believing that the Lord made the promise. Her problem was is that the promise was about her. God says, according to the time of life, I'll do it. According to the time of life, I'll visit you. And Sarah, by her own mental faith, could accept God's promise. But let me tell you something, brother. Every single time Sarah looked in the earthly mirror, that mirror slapped her faith right across the face. That mirror showed her wrinkles. It showed her stooped shoulders. It showed her body that had aged through the years. No doubt Sarah had hunched over her. She had lost height. Her eyes and began to sag, and her face began to sag. And no doubt her teeth were maybe discolored more than they were when she was younger. Maybe she had lost a few molars. Sarah could look at the mirror and she could hold God's promise up. And then she could look at the mirror. And that was the conflict. Oh, come on, you holy people. You know that the issue is not whether you believe God or you don't believe God. You believe God. You believe the promise. The problem is when you look in the mirror and you see the promise and you see you. And then there's the disconnect. Am I preaching to somebody here tonight? You hear the promise, you hear the word, you hear it preached, but then you look in the mirror and suddenly your faith is slapped in the face. Oh, but my Bible says that Sarah grew strength because she stopped looking at the mirror on the wall and she started looking at the mirror in the Word. And my brother, until you refuse and stop looking at the world's mirror, look in the mirror of God's Word and say, yes, Lord, I believe it, Lord. I accept it, Lord. Your words are yea and amen, Lord. Sarah grew strength. By faith, Sarah received strength. By a sixth sense. You know what Sarah's secret was? I know I preached on this here before. You know what Sarah's secret was? You say, Sarah, how could you be an old, well stricken in age? You're hunched over. You're old. Your hair color is gone. You're old, and you're you know, there's no way that you could receive a child. How did you, in that condition, look at a promise and receive strength? Let me reveal Sister Sarah's secret. You know what Sister Sarah's secret was? It was very simple. Sarah could say, here was my secret. I'm not the one who made that promise. I'm not the one who called. I'm not the one who responded. I'm not the one. I didn't even want to be here. I didn't even think I was worthy to be here. But God, who is rich in mercy, made me a promise. Sarah could say, it wasn't me who made the promise. So guess what, brother? It's not up to me to keep the promise. It's up to the one who made the promise to keep his own word. All I've got to do is say like Mary, be it unto me according to thy word, O Lord. And Sarah received strength. How could she do this? She had to unplug her cord from this earthly dimension of see, taste, smell, of hear, and memory, conscious, reason, imagination, affection. And she had to plug her cord into that other dimension. That dimension of faith. No fear. No doubt. No worry. She literally unplugged from this world and she plugged into another world. She unplugged from the earthly dimension, and she plugged into the same dimension that Adam lived in. She plugged into an Eden dimension, a dimension that there was nothing but faith. There was nothing but belief. There was nothing but joy. There was nothing but hope. There was nothing but love. There was nothing but health. Oh, notice this in Hebrews 11. It says that by faith Noah, being warned of God. Notice this in Hebrews chapter 11. It says that Noah, verse 7, being warned of God of things not seen, not as yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. He moved with fear. He moved with an awareness. That word moved means he lived by. So every day in his life when he woke up, that faith and that sixth sense was motivating every decision he made. He wasn't motivated by some kind of a fear. He wasn't motivated by an alarm clock that says, you know, do devotions and read your Bible and pray. He wasn't motivated by, you know, something like that. But there was an inner sense down inside of him. There was something that was controlling him. There was something that was moving him. Every day in his life, he couldn't explain it. Oh, Brother Jim, every day he went to work. Every day he lived his life. He maybe couldn't explain it, but there was something that was driving him to pick up a piece of wood and begin to pitch it within and without and within and without. And Noah began to build an ark. You say, Brother Noah, what are you doing? There's no rain in the atmosphere. We have scientific devices. Noah, what are you doing? Noah could say, I don't know, brother. I can't explain it. All I can tell you is something down on the inside is telling me to build an ark. Something on the inside is motivating me. It's pushing me. It's driving me. Oh, is that how you feel as a believer today? You maybe can't even explain why you live the way that you live. All you could say is, all I know is this is the way that feels right. This is something inside of me that is telling me. What is it, brother? It's a sixth sense. And it's contrary to these two eyes. It's contrary to what you feel. Noah could say it's a promise. He wasn't living by his two eyes. He was living by a revelation, because that revelation becomes a light. It becomes an illumination. Go to the PowerPoint if you have that, brothers, really quickly. The Bible says, notice this about light. It says, arise, shine. The very first slide. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Notice this in Zechariah 14:7. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time, it shall be light. Is that what it says? At evening time, it shall be light. Verse John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John 8:12, then Jesus spoke again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of the body is the eye, Matthew 6:22. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Amen. Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and he hears unto their cry. Now notice this scripture that arise, shine. What is God saying? This is what he says about light. I am the light of the world. Amen. Arise, shine, for thy light has come. Notice what the scripture says, brother, if you back it up, and I apologize, I skipped right over it. And then the second slide in Zechariah 14:7. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. This is what the prophet of God says is the most dangerous time to drive. Between light and night. Between day and night. That dusk period. And the Bible prophesies that it will get to this condition, to where darkness will come upon the people, and gross darkness. You know what that word gross means? I looked it up and found just a Jewish theologian actually give an explanation of that scripture in Zechariah. And he said, if you ever were to go into a cave, and he gave the description of the kind of cave that it was. I forget which cave it was. And he said, to where you were to go more than a mile down, he said, there would become a darkness that would be so dark that you couldn't see the hands in front of your face. You couldn't see anything. And a gross is a metric, it's a metric system of a certain amount. And this Jewish theologian says that when the Bible says gross darkness, it means 8 times darker than the darkness of that cave. This is what the Bible says about the world. They would literally live and move and breathe in gross darkness. People literally living. This is why the Bible says, without vision, the people perish. They're walking without light, without vision, without illumination. You know what that word vision means? Go look it up. It means revelation. That's literally what the word means. Without revelation, the people perish. Parkois, I think is how you pronounce the word vision. Without vision. Let me give you another meaning for that word. Night vision.
There you go.
All right. Anybody ever seen a night vision scope? Night vision pair of binoculars? Yeah. The U.S. military has. They can actually take goggles and they can see at night.
Yeah, right.
And the Bible's actually saying, unless you have night vision...
Amen.
What does the Bible say? In the evening time, in the darkness, I'm going to bring a light through Malachi 4, and he'll have night vision. He'll have the ability to see in the night. Oh, brother, what have you received? You receive vision to where you can see in the middle of gross darkness. Vision means revelation. Without revelation, the people perish. Why do you think the Bible says in the book of Revelation that he held the 7 stars in his right hand? What were those 7 stars? They were the 7 messengers. So God would send a star, which is a light. He would send a star to each age. He would send Martin Luther. He would send John Wesley. He would send Irenaeus. He would send Paul. He would send Martin. He would send these men. And what were they? They were luminaries. They were candle holders. They held the fire of God. What were they? They were watchmen on the wall. They were lights. Oh, the Bible says that they were the 7 stars of God. And if you pick it up in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, it says, for who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those 7. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro. So what were they, Brother Joel? They were vision. They were eyes. Those ages had grown dark and were in darkness and no one could see. So what would God send? He'd send eyes. He'd send light. And he would light the pathway for the believer. And Brother Branham said, what was the believer to do? Walk in the light that they had been given. So they were given light. They were eyes to see. What do you think God was sending us when he sent us Malachi 4? He sent us a light. Why do you think Paul said, I have been made a light to the Gentiles? He was coming to bear the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And these men literally became the light for the bride to follow. Oh, my brother and my sister, what are you following today? You're following the light, the illumination of God's word. The eyes of the Lord has been given to you. And it gives the church discernment. It gives the church night vision. It allows us to see when everybody else is stumbling in darkness and in gross darkness. Oh, Brother Branham said, what was it? He said those men had probed and probed at what it was. What were they doing? The prophet said it was like a blindfold over their eyes. And they were probing. And that, he said that's why they could say Father and Son and Holy Ghost. Amen. Why? They didn't have the light. They were blinded. They were in darkness. But God said, in the evening time, it shall be light. I'm going to send revelation to the bride, to my bride. I'm going to send revelation and illumination. I'm going to take the blindfold off to behold the glory of God. Why did God bring a Wesley? Why did He bring a Luther? He was bringing eyesight, vision, light to the age. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, what does that tell you? It means the light is moving. The light is not in one spot. It's moving. You say, when did it stop? It must have stopped in 1965. No, my brother. The light is still moving. You've got to walk in the light. The illumination. Oh, everyone could look at the same book. They could look at the same word. They could open their same Bible to the same pages, to Matthew 28:19, and walk away a Trinitarian. But a man with vision, a man with eyes, a man that could see, could say, there's no such thing. For God is one. He's not three. He's one. Why? Because it was light. It was illumination. Do we realize this is what Enoch had? This is how he lived such a life that was pleasing to God? He had so much light that he found his way to a rapture. He had so much light, it led his feet so pleasing to God that God looked and said, oh, Enoch, you might as well just come on home, buddy. You might as well just come on up a little higher, Enoch. Yo, Enoch, you've lived such a life pleasing to God. You might as well come on home. Oh, God said, in the evening time, it shall be light. People are literally groping in darkness. Oh, Noah, the Bible says he moved with fear. To everyone else, he seemed like a weirdo. To everyone else, he seemed strange. You know why to everyone else it seemed strange? Because had you been born blind, if you were ever born without the gift of sight, and you were born in a condition of blindness, and I know I've met people who are completely blind, never seen a day in their life, learned Braille, they've used their other senses of hearing, and they could hear people, they could touch, but they've never seen in their entire life. You know what? I could sit up here and I could preach to you for 5 hours. If you were blind, what it looks like. I could try to explain color. I could try to explain the face of a human. I could try to explain the hair and the nose and the color of the skin. I could try to explain the mountains. I could try to explain the blues and the pastels of the skies and what the sun looks like. And I could explain it. And I could explain it. But brother, no matter how much explaining I could do, they would never catch it, because eyes and vision and sight is not understood intellectually. It's got to be experienced. And brother, once God has ever opened your eyes and given you the experience of this seventh age eyesight, it's all you can see. It's all you can think. It consumes your vision. Oh, can you say amen tonight? When God gives you revelation, it's all you can see. It's all Noah could see. It's all we can see. Brother, you either can't see it or you can't not see it. It may not be proper English, but you either can see it, you can't, or you cannot. And I'm one of those people who can't not see it. It's all I see. Do you realize that darkness, this is exactly how people are living? They've never experienced light. Go ahead, brothers. Have never experienced what it means. And the Bible says they literally live in this gross darkness. They live their lives like this. They are creatures of the night. They wake up every day in this kind of darkness. They live in this kind of darkness. They see this is their everyday life. They're literally groping in darkness. They're literally groping in gross darkness. This is why they trip up and they fall into addictions and to alcohol and to drugs and to sex. Because they're living in darkness. They can't see. But God says, in the evening time, it shall be light. And the light shall shine. You know, what does the light do? It lights your pathway. It tells you, hey, there's a stair there. You better watch out or you're going to fall and bust your head. What does it do? This is why David said, your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. And what does God say? God says, you're not a creature of the night. You're not a creature of the darkness. But go ahead, brothers. He says, arise, shine. Your light has come. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Arise, shine. Your light has come. In the evening time, when everybody else is living with no light, arise, shine your light. Do you realize how privileged you are that you've been given eyes to see? Jesus says, blessed are your eyes, for they see. For people live in darkness. They live in gross darkness. But you live where the light of life has shone abroad. How many people are thankful here tonight? They say, I'm so thankful for the light, Lord. I'm so thankful you've given me a light. I'm so thankful the lights have came on and I can see. What does light mean to the believer? A sixth sense, a revelation. Oh, how does it come, Brother Matt? It comes through prayer. It comes through fellowship. It comes through study. You say, why would you say that? Because this is how the first church started. Do you realize the first church was started at a prayer meeting? Well, that's just what the scripture says. The Bible says they were all assembled together in an upper room praying. Amen. And lights of God descended down like fire, licks of fire on each and every single one of them. You say, what does it do? Prayer awakens that sixth sense. You say, Brother Matt, how do I get that sixth sense? Stop feeding your five senses every day of your life. You veg and veg on these five senses and you never feed the sixth sense. Amen. That's why Paul said, let a song be on your heart and a word be on your mouth at all times. Think on these things. You got to wake up that awareness. You've got to wake up through prayer. Oh, the Bible says that they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and prayer. Brother and sister, let me tell you something. You need fellowship more than you've ever needed it before in your life. This is not a time to draw your holy huddle and go to church and dream in the stream. This is a time to be at church on a church pew. Hope I didn't just hit a funny bone. I said it's not a time to be dreaming while streaming. It's a time to be in church, pulling on the word of God, bringing your lick of fire together and unifying with your brothers and sisters. What does it do? It nurtures that sixth sense down inside of you. Real fellowship. I'm not talking about getting around after a Sunday morning service and talking about the ball game or the latest, greatest thing. I'm not saying you can't talk about those things, but your fellowship should be centered on the Word. You should be encouraging each other. You should be saying, brother, I'm praying for you. Sister, I'm praying for you. I'm interceding for you. I'm going to pray for that situation. That's why Paul says, assemble yourselves together more as you see the day approaching. Because God answers prayer. I said, God answers prayer. David said, go to that next slide if you could, brother, through there. The Bible says here that the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, I said if we ask anything, this is 1 John 5, this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Is that what the Scripture says? Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. All things, Matthew 21, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Proverbs 15:18, the prayer of the upright is His delight. Verse 29 says, the Lord heareth the prayer of the righteous. He will, Psalms 102, He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. I don't care what the devil has told you. God answers prayer. I don't care what lie the devil has told you. Prayer changes things. I said, Brother Matt, why are you preaching on prayer? Because this is what feeds that sixth sense. There are certain things that feed it, and there's other things that hinder it. David said, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me. Go to the next slide, brother. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthen me. And let me tell you something, brother. If Brother David was here at this pulpit tonight, this would be his testimony. In the day I needed God, I cried and He answered my cry and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. How many need strength in their soul? Yeah. David said, God can strengthen you. If you need strength, God can give it to you tonight. Yeah. Oh, the Apostle Paul says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What's he saying? In salvation, in redemption, comes many benefits. One of those is the ability to pray to your Father. Now, I know I've said this before. Every religion prays. The Buddhist prays. He prays to God. The Muslim prays. He prays to Allah. Every religion in the world prays. A Christian prays. You want to know what the difference between a Muslim and a Christian is? A Muslim prays to Allah. A Christian prays to Abba. A Muslim says Allah. We say Abba. Because Abba means Papa God. What's the difference? You're not just praying to some deity. You're praying to your Father. You're praying to the one who knows you. You're praying to the one who made you. And Paul says, how can we escape if we neglect? Let me ask you a question, my brother and my sister. The Bible said the word neglect means to make light of, to show no regard. If you go to the next slide, you have that. It means to make light. Paul is saying, how shall we escape if we make light of, if we neglect what God, the tools God's given us? Are you not the same people who is the prime target of the enemy? Are you not the believer who faces hell every single day of his life? Are you not the person? And if you don't think you are, let me tell you something. You are the devil's primary target. He, every day he wakes up, is to afflict you and try to bother you and torment your mind on every subject. More than ever before, we need to be a church that's praying. We need to be a church that's believing. We need to be a believer who avails ourselves of our salvation. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so, the much more as you see the day approaching. It's time to disconnect, brother, from this five senses and plug into another world. It's time to disconnect from this world and plug into another world. Oh, as we preached on Stephen here before, as Stephen was being stoned, the Bible says his rocks were hitting Stephen in the face. The Bible says Stephen suddenly looked and he said, I see heaven opened. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Brother Branham said, what was it? He said every other time he was seated. But when Stephen was being stoned, Jesus stood to his feet to give him a welcome home invitation. What was it that this man could disconnect from a stoning? Now none of us are being stoned here tonight. Some of us may have some issues and you may be able to give me yours. Brother Jewel says your wowsy woo list. And you may be able to tell me of all your trouble and all your problems and all your issues. But I don't think any of us are having 8-pound rocks thrown at our head right now. But the Bible says this brother, in the midst of his stoning, was able to disconnect. What was it? By faith. By a sixth sense. By not his sight, not his hearing, not his taste, not what he smelled, not what he felt. But literally Stephen was being connected to another dimension. And he was seeing Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. What was it Stephen was disconnecting? Because his five senses were starting to shut down. His five senses were starting to shut down. And at the moment his five senses started turning off, Brother Terry, another sense flicked on. And Stephen's eyes came open. And Stephen suddenly departed from the pain. Suddenly the pain meant nothing. Suddenly the stoning meant nothing. Suddenly the problem meant nothing. Oh, brother, is that your desire here tonight? To say, Lord, let me so disconnect from this world that my problems seem to fade away at the issues. Oh, come on, somebody. You can say, God, connect me with another dimension to where I hear the voice of the Lord. Speak and say, come home, my child. It's going to be okay, my daughter. It's all right. I give you peace that passes understanding. You don't have to put up with the devil's nonsense. You don't have to put up with his lies. All you got to do is disconnect from that dimension and plug into another. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, could the musicians come now? Oh, Brother Branham says, how shall we escape? Paul says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Oh, how shall we escape if we neglect Sarah's secret? How shall we escape if we neglect Enoch's secret? What was their secret? They moved with another sense. They moved with another awareness. Noah may have seemed like a weirdo to everybody, but to Noah, everybody else was a weirdo. He was the only one. You notice this, brothers. Notice this. It motivated his heart so much. It motivated his actions so much that every day he picked up a hammer and he began to build.
And it began to build. And it began to build. You say, Noah, you look crazy. What are you doing, Noah? Are you crazy? You're wasting your time. You're neglecting your family. Noah said, I can't explain it. All I know is I've got to pick up a hammer and I've got to keep building and I've got to keep pushing and I've got to keep pressing. Oh, Abraham could say, what are you doing, Abraham? You're leaving the land of Ur. You don't even know where you're going. The Bible says, by faith, he left the land of his fathers and he looked for a city which had foundations. What was it? Something was controlling Abraham. They could say, Abraham, are you crazy? You don't even know where you're going. You don't have a map. You don't have an atlas. You don't have a GPS. What they didn't know is that he had an inner GPS down on the inside of him. He had an inner GPS that was telling him, turn left. In 5 miles, Abraham, make a right. In 3 miles, there's an accident ahead. Watch out, Abraham. What was it? The voice of God was ordering his steps. And I'm telling you tonight, my brother and my sister, God has given you a faith, an inner GPS that tells you how to live, that tells you how to walk, that tells you how to talk. How many can say, Lord, let that sixth sense come alive? Play something for me if you could. Let that sixth sense, with your head bowed, your eyes closed. How many can say, by an uplifted hand, Lord, let me nurture, let me awaken that sense down inside of me that you put, Lord. Let me not live by these five. I don't walk by sight. I want to walk by faith. I want to walk by that inner man. I want to walk by that sixth sense. I want it to control me. I want it to lead me. I need it to guide me. How many mothers, how many fathers could say, I need it to give me wisdom in raising children? How many could say, I need it to give me understanding in living my everyday life? Oh, brother man, I'm praying over something and I need the leadership of God. Brother, God is here to lead you. He didn't send you into a world just as a lost, as a sheep with no pasture. But God gave you a teacher down on the inside of you. He gave you a comforter. He gave you an advocate. He gave you a brother. He gave you a friend. All you got to do is avail yourself of your great salvation. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. Maybe you could say here tonight, I feel I've neglected it. I feel like maybe I've neglected it in my own life. I feel like maybe I've not been where I should be at all times. Oh, God says in Jeremiah chapter 2, he says, can a maid forget her ornaments? Or can a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. You know, as I read that scripture, I'm glad the Lord reminded me of that. As I read that scripture, yet my people has forgotten me days without number. It brought a conviction on my heart. Maybe it'll bring to you. And I said, Lord, I wonder how many days I've went through this journey and I've just completely forgot you, Lord. I've completely just forgot about you. Maybe you could say by an uplifted hand, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me if I've forgotten you, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, if I've went astray. Forgive me, Lord, if I've lived too carnally by these five senses. I don't want to forget you, Lord. I want to remember you. The Bible says, he who's mine, she shall have perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. Oh, I'm raising my hand, say, Lord, let my mind stay upon you. Let me look at your word, God, not in the mirror of my mistakes, not in the mirror of my failures. Let me look in the mirror of your word, the mirror of your promises. Let me look to draw strength. I need strength. Maybe you need strength here tonight. You can raise a hand and say, Lord, would you give me strength in my soul for the journey, Lord? I need just a little bit of strength, oh God. Would you strengthen what remains inside of me, oh God? Oh, hands up everywhere. People are praying. I believe God is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Oh, just raise your hands. Say, Lord, I want to touch you. I want to reach out and touch the hem of your garment. Even now, Lord Jesus, I need a touch from the Master. I need him to come and waken that sixth sense. Let me hear the word of encouragement. You can make it. You can make it. Oh, you may not feel like it, brother, but you're going to make it. We've already seen the end of the tape. We've already seen the end. We've read the back of the book. We win. We win. You're victorious. God's already seen you there. Now all you've got to have is adjust your attitude and say, I'm going to look at my problems different. I'm going to look at my issue different. I'm going to look at my test different. I already know who wins. I already know who gets the victory. It doesn't matter what the devil can do. He can. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifieth. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus, that's our desire here tonight, Lord. Oh, we just bless your name, Lord Jesus. We bless your name, Father. You're worthy of our praise, worthy of our thanksgiving. Oh, could we just thank him just for a moment, church? Thank you for light in this generation. Thank you for vision, Lord, to see. Thank you that I'm not perishing with the rest of the world, but you've given me the light of life. You've shone and arose, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon me. Brother Joe, could you come and sing for me, brother? To say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful. Could you raise your hands and sing it now? Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God.
Oh my God, you're lovely, you're worthy, you are wonderful to me. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Glorious, you open my eyes and let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. You gave me hope and you set me free. So here I am to worship, to bow down. Here I am, Lord, I'm gonna say that you are my God. You're lovely, you're worthy, you're altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to this earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Sing it. Here I am, I'm here to worship. Are you here to worship? Bow down. I'm here to say that you are my God. You're worthy,
together.
You're lovely, you're wonderful. You're wonderful to me.
I'm here to bow down. Oh, you want to say that? You're my God.
You're all together. You're worthy.
You're wonderful.
Sing
the second verse now.
You're the King of all days, oh so highly exalted. You're glorious in heaven above.
so humbly you came to the earth you created and all for love's sake so here I am to worship, and here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, you're my God.
I am to say that you're
say
my
that you
God.
Are my God.
Oh, you're all together, love.
You're lovely.
Oh, yes, you are, Lord Jesus.
You're worthy.
Yes, you
you're
are,
You're all together.
For
you're all together
to
wonderful
me.
To me.
This is my desire. To honor you.
Is that your prayer?
Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Sing it now, all I have within me.
And all I have within,
I want to give you praise.
I give you praise.
All that I adore,
all that I adore is in you.
It's in you, Lord, I give you my heart.
Oh, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way.
Lord, I give.
Lord, I give you my heart.
I give you my heart.
I give you my soul.
I live for you, Lord.
I live for you.
Yes, I do.
Alone.
Every
breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many want to say, Lord, I give you my heart. Every breath that I take, every moment that I'm awake, here's my prayer, Lord. Have your way in me. Have your way in me, Lord. Don't let me have none of my own way. I came to crucify my own ambitions, my own desires, my own dreams, my own hopes. I let go of all of those a long time ago. I came to follow the Lord Jesus. I came to give Him everything. Oh, how many can say, Lord, if I'm not giving You everything, let me give it to You now. Let me lay it all down on Your altar, oh God. I give it all to You, Lord. I give myself away. I give my mind away. I give my body, my affections. I give it all away, Lord. I lay it all down on Your altar. I want to sacrifice. I want to die. As Paul said, I die daily. I am crucified with Christ. I want to say, Lord, let me be crucified with Christ. And say, nevertheless, I still live. How? Because I live by the life of Christ. He's my breath. He's my song. He's my outlook. He's my perspective. He's everything. He's all that I see. He's all that I desire. He's everything I want. He's everything I thirst for. David said it this way, all my springs, all my wells, everywhere I find for drink. David said, all my springs are in you, Lord. I don't drink from this world's cesspool. I don't drink from its broken cistern. I drink water of life. And guess what? It's free. It's free. All you got to do is drink. All you got to do is say, Lord, here's my cup. Fill it up, Lord. Here it is, oh Jesus. Come and give me water. Water of life. Water freely. Water given. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing right beside you, holding your hand. Let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my song, a song to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let his sons and his daughters sing. Oh, I'm surrendering.
Surrendering my all.
Oh, yes, Lord. I want to surrender to the King.
I surrender to the King.
Oh, sing it for me, Brother John.
Let the worshipers arise.
Oh yes, let the sons and the daughters,
let the sons and the daughters sing.
Oh hallelujah, I'm surrendering,
I'm surrendering my all.
Oh, I'm surrendering,
I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise.
Oh yes.
Let the sons and the daughters
sing.
Oh, I'm surrendering my all.
I surrender to the King.
Oh, I surrender to the King.
Sing the second verse now.
Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed. As the saints from every nation are awakening to sing, from our hearts there comes an anthem.
Oh, let the heavens,
oh, hear the praises ring.
This is
our song.
Our song. Our song to our King.
Let the worshipers arise.
Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. Oh, I surrender to the King. Oh, let the worshipers
arise.
Oh,
let the sons and the daughters sing.
Oh, I'm surrendering
my all. Surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of the redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the praises ring. This is our song, song to our King. Let the worshipers arise. God bless you. See you in the morning, Lord willing. Ring my all. I surrender to my King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to you.